This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Just a reminder that we have actually the iPad going around, so if you have not signed up yet, then please make sure to do so. Actually, I see Sheikh Omar in the back over there. And I'm tempted to have him actually come and give the talk right now. Bismillah, come over. Got you in the last second.
You know, just off the top of my head, and something that I've been thinking very deeply about, when we talk about Laylatul Qadr, what many people don't understand is that Laylatul Qadr is not just the night that the Qur'an was revealed, because a lot of times people think about Laylatul Qadr as a night of history. You know, it's something that we celebrate in history. But Laylatul Qadr has significance every single year. And in particular, one of the names, obviously, one of the meanings of its name, Laylatul Qadr, is the night of decree. Okay, so it is the night that everything that will happen for the next year is decreed. And there are many different writings, and obviously this is in the science of al-qadr wal-qada'. When you're studying the science of the divine decree, you study al-ilm wal-kitaba wal-mashi'a wal-khalq. You talk about the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the writing, His will, and then His creation. These are the four principles of qadr. Under the writing, okay, the idea of writing, the writing of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have different types of writing. So you have, obviously, the major writing, you have a Lawh al-Mahfuz, which is the preserved tablet that is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where everything has been written 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. And subhanAllah, this is a very beautiful hadith. It's from Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was talking to his son, and he says to his son that, you know, and this is at the time of his death, he says, "Oh my son," and he's giving him an advice. He's telling him that before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created anything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the pen. The first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the pen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the pen, and this is 50,000 years before the creation. I mean, subhanAllah, this is a long time ago. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the pen, "Uktub," write. And the pen responded to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the pen said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "And what should I write?" And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded, "The maqadir," the calculations, the estimation of everything. Everything would be written. So this is the hadith. So Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu is saying to his son that, "Oh my son, know that you will not taste the sweetness of iman. You will not taste the sweetness of iman." And subhanAllah, he used those beautiful words, ta'amul iman, literally the taste of iman. You know, you have to have a bare belief, a bare minimum belief in the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to be considered a believer. But you will not taste the sweetness of iman, hatta ta'lama, until you know, annama asabak, that which struck you was not meant to have missed you, and that which missed you was not meant to have come to you. You will never be able to taste the sweetness of iman. You know, because you might have this bare belief that, you know, qadr Allah ma sha fa'al, but then when something very serious happens to you, you're unable to taste the sweetness of iman. You're unable to, you know, your faith shakes to the core. Because let's face it, you know, poverty leads to kufr, right? You know, hardship leads to kufr sometimes, because a lot of times people cannot handle, you know, this question. This, why did this happen to me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Whereas the believer always understands that everything is happening for a reason. And so he tastes the sweetness of iman because he finds the good in everything that happens to him. But in these writings of the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you have a lawh al-mahfuz, one of the writings that you have is the writing on Laylatul Qadr, the writing that takes place once a year, the writing of our decree, where everything that is to happen for the next year is written. You know, Ibn Abbas says that even the names of the people that are going to Hajj are written on the night of Laylatul Qadr. Can you imagine that? You know, subhanAllah, in one of these blessed nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have the names of the Hujjaj written. You know? And so it's an amazing occurrence to think about that. What am I looking for? I'm not just celebrating a historic event. I want to be on the right page. I want to make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me whenever everything that's going to happen in the next year is going to be decreed. Especially, for example, if I'm trying to go to Hajj, which is, you know, a dream. You know, I'm waiting for something to happen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to make sure that on these 10 nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds me in a situation that He is pleased with me. And this is the meaning of the ayah. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erases what He wills. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yuthbit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes firm. Because in Lawh al-Mahfuz, that writing is untouched. It takes into consideration everything that will happen. Right? I mean, that writing is intact. It already has everything recorded there. Whereas the writings of the malaika, the writings of the angels can change. Right? And so the writings of the angels, so you have the Lawh al-Mahfuz, which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have the writing on Laylatul Qadr, you have the writing that takes place when you are in the womb of your mother, and you have the writing every single day, the daily decree. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Every single day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has your decree being written. So I mean, when you're talking about the writing of the angels, dua can change the writing of the angels. It can change your qadr for that year. You might have been meant, and just think about how powerful this is. You might have been meant to die this year. But because of your dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to extend you. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, nothing extends or prolongs a person's life like dua and good deeds. Literally, your life can become extended. Now someone might say, well then isn't there a contradiction between the Lawh al-Mahfuz then and the writing on Laylatul Qadr and so on and so forth? No, because it's just like when you ate food and you drank, it became a means for the extension of your life, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already had it recorded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already has this recorded. But on those, just imagine, you know, on if it's this night, it could be this night, we know we're in the 23rd night, it could be any one of these nights. On this night or on any one of these nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have all of that written for me for this entire year. So it's not just a celebration of history, it's actually hope for the future. Hope for the goodness of this year to come, the good of it in this dunya, and of course the good of it in the akhirah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to witness Laylatul Qadr, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finds us on this blessed night in a way that is pleasing to Him, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to taste the sweetness of Iman. Allahumma ameen. JazakAllahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.